Wisconsin's constitution was passed with the birth of the state back in 1848. While it's been amended now and again in the century and a half since then, it hasn't seen any kind of major overhaul.
Our next guest says it's time to change that. He wants to see a constitutional convention in the state to tackle fundamental issues like redistricting, Supreme Court judge selection, county boundaries, and more. Ed Huck joins us now. He's the former executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance of Cities, and his piece on the state's constitution is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Ed, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Well, we'll get into the particular issues, what you're calling for, but in general, why do you think we need a constitutional convention?
Well, generally, when we went and looked at this issue 10 years ago with my organization, we came to the conclusion that the state legislature, although has the ability to tinker with the Constitution, a major overhaul would have to be done by a convention. The years I've spent working with the state legislature, I can assure you, getting consensus on any single question is quite difficult for the leadership. Making major changes to the Constitution shouldn't happen in the legislature, and it's highly improbable it could happen in the legislature.
So you don't think constitutional amendments would get the job done, you know, in a more typical fashion?
Well, it can address critical issues from time to time, and that's fine. It works well in that manner. We have one coming up, a question on November 4th, a very important question about whether the transportation fund should be sacred or not. The issue, though, that I'm speaking to is the very structure of state and local government. Constitutional officers, both at the county as well as the state level, and some issues that, like Supreme Court justice election and redistricting, which have been difficult to get the legislature to deal with. And at this particular point, we are in a state of old government, a lot of government, old government. And frankly, the question of whether we should be more modernized is something we're going to have to address at some particular point if we're going to compete for jobs and people in the future.
What exactly would happen at a constitutional convention?
Well, the most recent convention is the Illinois Convention of 1970-1971. And when the Alliance of Cities looked at this issue 10 years ago, we interviewed Professor Olin from the University of Wisconsin, Michael McChrystal from Marquette Law, and myself went down and we interviewed Dawn Clark Netsch, who at the time was with Northwestern Law. She was a former Democratic candidate for governor, and she was also a delegate to the 1970 convention. And she spoke about how the delegates divided up the Constitution, went into work groups, came out, made presentations to the body as a whole. The body would then thumbs up, thumbs down, recommend amendments, go back to work. And so it was a group of delegate committees working on different parts of the Constitution that recreated the Illinois Constitution 40-odd years ago.
All right, well, let's get into some of your suggestions, what you would like to see looked at a constitutional convention. At the top of your list is redistricting reform. What kind of changes do you want to see?
Well, redistricting is one of those issues that is becoming apparent that both parties have devolved into gerrymandering the districts in order to maintain a political edge over a 10-year period, which is the time period which the lines are redrawn. What that creates is not only an imbalance in terms of real representation, it creates divisions because districts become so one-sided that representatives take either a very conservative or a very liberal position. Compromise is more difficult under those circumstances. We've seen this play out not only in the state of Wisconsin, but in the U.S. Congress. And so what we, those of us who have been witnesses of this over a period of time, we also see that it's when the time comes near the redrawing, politics kicks into high gear, and nothing really gets done at the state level. And it's not productive, and in fact, it has become apparent to many that it's counterproductive.
So who should get to draw the lines, if not the power and party, Democrats or Republicans?
Well, we take a look at the Iowa model, where there's an independent commission. We could draw on retired judges. There's a variety of possibilities that could be looked at. Certainly, someone who is more interested in square borders and competitive districts, and you're not going to find those folks in the legislature.
And then in addition to taking a look at redistricting, you also think we should be looking at county lines. Why county lines?
Well, there's a couple. First, there's a couple areas of the state. There are over 70 cities in the state of Wisconsin that are in multiple counties. The city of Appleton is in three counties. And so when you try to deal, when you're a city like Appleton or Marshfield, which actually tried to get Wood County redrawn some years ago because they were having difficulty with the county seat being so distant from them. Appleton finds itself in mostly in Outagamie County, which is a very rural county, and consequently, they get very little help from the county. You go down into southeastern Wisconsin, you've got Racine and Kenosha, which are both located on Lake Michigan, but the western parts of the county are so rural, they similarly have problems with getting consensus on urban issues because the county is so divided. So as you look around the state of Wisconsin, the question is, first of all, do we need 72 counties? And the short answer, in my opinion, is no. And if you don't need them, then should we redraw them so that they're more functional for other local governments? And that could be done. It would indeed be expensive initially, but in the long run, it would have some practicality to it.
We're talking right now with Ed Huck about his recent piece in the Wisconsin State Journal. He says Wisconsin needs a constitutional convention to tackle some fundamental issues in state government.
Ed Huck stays with us. He's calling for a constitutional convention here in Wisconsin to deal with a variety of fundamental issues in state government, from redistricting to Supreme Court justice selection to switching to a one-house legislature.
And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Does the state constitution need a rewrite? What do you think should change? Do you agree with some of the particular suggestions? We've been talking about cutting down the number of counties, talking about redistricting. We'll be getting to a new suggestion for appointing Supreme Court justices. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Ed, before we go any further and get to our callers, you want to change the way we pick Supreme Court justices. Why?
Well, the question of politics and money and how our judges have been selected in the last two or three elections has been one that has gotten the attention of many editorial boards around the state, as well as others, in terms of blatant lies that have been come across the television screen about what the candidates are, who they are, and what they've done. And it has gotten so ugly, and there are some questions about qualifications that we need to look at the merit system as a possibility. And this is not a proposal that comes from Democrats or Republicans. It's a proposal that comes from both. The current Secretary of Transportation, former Representative Mark Gottlieb, made a very thoughtful and very desirable proposal to his caucus. He He actually introduced legislation at one particular point. Didn't get very far with it in his own caucus. But the fact of the matter was that he, like others, felt it was time. Will the legislature go this particular route? Well, there are some very influential groups that like to spend money for Supreme Court justices, and it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to get that through the legislature. But I think it's critical for the future of the state.
We're going to go to our callers now and take a first call from Nancy in La Crosse. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Ed. It's Nancy McCarthy. I used to work with you way back in the 80s and 90s.
Yes, I know. Hello.
Hi. Nice to hear you on the radio again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I have deep support for your idea of a constitutional convention. However, I just, and I know you know, that given the divisiveness of our current political situation, how are we ever going to get a number of people to build consensus within a convention? How would these people be appointed or elected to a convention?
Well, this is part of thank you, Nancy. This is an excellent question. In other states, I've worked closely with Professor Alan Tarr at the Rutgers University's Department of State Constitutional Law, and what generally occurs, and it happened most recently in Georgia, is the governor appoints a commission. And that commission holds public hearings, and they develop questions about the estimates on what the convention would cost, how the representatives should be chosen, how many representatives should be chosen, and should they be partisan or nonpartisan, and what are the timelines and the framework of the convention. And this commission then makes a recommendation to the state legislature about all of these things so they can appropriate the a necessary amount of money, establish campaigns. And what Professor Tarr, when he came to Wisconsin and talked to my group some years ago, explained is that the public generally does not elect or wish to elect politicians to a convention. They more likely go with educators or legal authorities, judges, attorneys. Every convention that showed up in modern times has done this type of a thing. So that has to be worked out prior to the calling. And that just is one of the reasons why you don't have legislature just calling the question. They need to have some structure and advice on how to do that.
Well, Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate that. And you have a suggestion here that's a bit unusual. We have an assembly and a Senate in the Wisconsin legislature. You want to have a one-house legislature. How would that work, and what would it accomplish?
Well, the unicameral legislature, it only is in one state currently in the United States. Most states have the Senate and the Assembly. First of all, it creates a larger district, and if you have one house, or hopefully you'd have a larger district, more like a Senate, so you could reduce the number of representatives in the body. But if you think about Wisconsin and how it's worked in the past, is you have one budget passed in the Assembly, you have a similar budget passed in the Senate after the governor has introduced it, then they get together and they get this committee going and they bargain back and forth and they trade political favors, and generally spending goes up, it doesn't go down under those circumstances, policy gets stuck in the budget. All that would be eliminated. And the fact is, you could probably go to a part-time legislature with a more limited timeline and make it more efficient than it currently is.
Let's take another call now. We've got Ben joining us in Turtle Lake. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ed. I was hoping, first of all, could you spell your last name so I can get a hold of you sometime, or some way that I can get a hold of you? Because I totally agree with you on this issue. I've been reading the state constitution, and it's not a simple read by any stretch. there's in the beginning of it, there's the Bill of Rights, and it's similar to the National Constitution. I think it's number 9 or number 13, but one of them in the beginning of it is treason. You know, I mean, our Constitution doesn't make any sense, on the state level anyway. That's just...
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ben. And H-U-C-K is the spelling of Ed's name. And he's saying that the state constitution is outdated. It contains stuff that's just not relevant anymore. On the other hand, it's a historical document in one sense, isn't it?
Well, it's a historical document. Remember, it is actually the second of two documents. The first convention was called in 1846. And that particular recommendation to the body politic was rejected, and they came back with a second convention, and that was concluded in 1848. And of course, that one passed as we became a state. One of the things I might mention that was in that 1846 document was a mandatory 10-year question to the public, and that is the legislature would have been mandated to ask the question, shall we hold a constitutional convention every 10 years, as Michigan's does currently. That was removed from the 1848 document, and so it's one of the reasons we've never had the question come up again. But remember, 1848, there's been some great inventions since then, like electricity. You know, it's an old document. In fact, Professor Tarr told my group that it's the sixth oldest in the country.
Huh.
So it's been around a while.
Now, Ed, as we wrap up here in our last moments, what would it take to make this thing happen, a constitutional convention? Is there any hope?
Well, I think it takes the public to start thinking about what it is that they would like to see changed, because what happened when we had our Marquette Law convention in 2006, subsequently they wrote a law review, by the way, the following month, so it is out there. There were a lot of people that had like different recommendations of what should be changed. And then they would say, yeah, but we really don't want a convention. Well, I can tell you that from environmental policy to electoral policy to tax policy, there are a lot of recommendations out there for change that
and
could take place.
We got to leave it there. Ed, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Ed Hug, former executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance of Cities. His piece on the state's constitution is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.